That was tough to live on.
Yeah,
that.
I know it is.
Welcome back to 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. This is Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish. And our special guest this week, the multi-talented, extremely well-educated and historical Claiborne Benson, who joins us. As I had said in the earlier segment, we've known each other for the better part of three decades. Met each other in television news a million years ago. And Claiborne, you moved from being an award-winning photojournalist into becoming a historian.
I did.
What was the impetus for that move? Why the move from an outstanding career, an exemplary career, into becoming a historian, someone who wants to spread the education of history of the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, you know, I went back to school and I saw all of the employees coming on to TMJ with degrees. And I said, I'm as good as they are. And I have an opportunity. And I'm going to make an opportunity to go back and get my degree. It didn't really make a difference once I got a degree, but a personal satisfaction. But I did go back. I went to UWM and I got my degree in filmmaking and journalism. And then in the process, I discovered history. I did, as my final project, I did a film about the history of African Americans. And it's on our website, WVHSM, and you can look at it. And I did it, obviously, 35 years ago. But nonetheless, I wanted to tell a story about African Americans in the state of Wisconsin as from the perspective of a young girl and her grandfather, who takes her all around the state of Wisconsin in various venues and places where they could see real life in Wisconsin, that indeed black people existed and did live in not just in southeastern Wisconsin, but all over the state of Wisconsin. And that's what I did. But here I am. I think it's 50 years later, and I'm still in school. I have gone back for my master's, and I'm a student at UWM at the moment. I love it. I mean, it's not easy. But I'm a history major, and I love it. I mean, I really enjoy the process of learning this information. It gives a certain internal drive that keeps me going.
What was that internal drive that told you or drove you to say that I want to be involved in the Wisconsin Black Historical Society and to make the influences of black history in Wisconsin known and explored?
I hope I don't influence it. I hope what I do is share it, that information that I've learned. I love learning. There's a adrenaline that flows through my system as I read this material and learn it and process. And I live through the words and the experiences that those people are going through. I process it in my mind. It brings joy to me. So, you know, I'm back at UWM now. I've spent 2 years. I finished up 2 years, and I've got two more years. I take one course a semester because I can't take any more, and I love it.
How important is black history to the state of Wisconsin, back to its origin and founding?
Well, we got election coming up next week. And so the issue of voting for African Americans has always been on the front burner. Joe Oliver is the first to vote. Prior to that, people didn't even consider African Americans. So when was the first African American in the state? Nobody knows. But Joe Oliver is said to be the first citizen. So he votes in 1835. And he is given recognition and given permission to vote. But the consensus is that people don't want African Americans to have the right to vote. And so thus, the issue of voting is, as a state is deciding to be a state in 1846, now the state becomes a state in 1848, but in 1846, as the founding fathers are preparing the state to be a state and putting the guidelines together, they say that African Americans should have the right to vote in 1846. And when they have a vote on the Constitution, the people in the western part of the state said no to that. And so thus, it is taken out of the Constitution. And in 1848, we have our normal election. The state becomes a state. But in 1849, they come back. The African Americans come back to the table and they challenge the system. We have a right to vote, and we need a referendum on the issue of whether or not African Americans should have the right to vote. Now, they voted, and it said that we lost that right to vote in the 1849 referendum. But there's a man by the name of Ezekiel Gillespie in 1866, after the war, Civil War is over, attempts to sue the state of Wisconsin or challenge the system through the courts to take another look at the 1849 census, or excuse me, 1849 referendum vote. And they find, the courts find, that there is a wrong calculation of the 1849 votes. They simply did not calculate those numbers correctly. And they never, even when people write about it today, they smooth over it. They just, they grace it in a nice kind of way, but in truth, the people who calculated those numbers did it wrong. And the courts found it in 1866, and thus African Americans, the court said that from this point forth, African Americans should always have the right, and we had the right in 1849. From 1849 to 1866, we had that right to vote.
And you brought up the Civil War. You had been talking to me. We had a nice visit a while back. You talked about Wisconsin's role in the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
I'm not sure the average person who lives in this state understands the role Wisconsin played in the Underground Railroad, how important it was and how vast it was.
It was a huge responsibility and the role that they played. For example, I'm just trying to think about how to approach this. So Joshua Glover, well, in 1850, I think I should start there. In 1850, the North is helping runaways make their way to Canada. And the South is saying, we don't like that, because in the United States Constitution, the Underground Railroad, the Fugitive Slave Law is clear that you have a responsibility, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, all of the northern states, to return runaways, because it's in the Constitution. It's not a little gesture on the side. It is in the Constitution that the states have a responsibility to return. So in 1850, Henry Clay and John Calhoun get together and they negotiate a new agreement. The South is saying, return our runaways. The North is saying, stop expanding to the West, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas. And both of them agree. So 4 years after 1850, and they've signed and everybody's happy, 4 years after 1850, the state of Wisconsin, Waukesha, none other, find Joshua Glover, who is in jail. He is a runaway. He makes it to Wisconsin. He is in jail, and it said 500 abolitionists break him out of jail and takes him to Canada. 500 of them. Now, what's special about this? We have just violated the United States Constitution, the state of Wisconsin. Now, is Wisconsin the only state that does this? No, but the other ones sneak and do it. The other ones do it when the military is gone. The other ones do it when there's dark. Wisconsin does it to the federal government. We have just broken Joshua Glover out of jail. It brought national attention to every newspaper in the entire country. It's talking about what Wisconsin did in the case of Joshua Glover, it's one of the things that hurried the Civil War into place.
And that was in, where was he being captive?
He was being caught in Milwaukee. He's broken out of jail. He's taken to Deacon Brown's farm on Fond du Lac Avenue, then brought here to Waukesha, hid out in Waukesha for a while, and then taken down to Burlington, Wisconsin, where he's hid out in the Burlington area.
Was Waukesha Freeman was the paper, was one of the earlier papers.
Waukesha and the men who ran the Freeman, and that's significant in itself, Freeman, because they were abolitionist, and Waukesha is like the driving force to continue this Underground Railroad. Waukesha is the impetus to make Underground Railroad real, and it's Waukesha that provides the conductors for the Underground Railroad. It's Waukesha that schedules the ships that come into the harbor to take people out. It's Waukesha to provide a hiding out and food for the various Underground Railroad people. They come up two ways. One, they're coming up through Beloit, through Burlington, into the Waukesha area, and they're coming up along the lakefront from Kenosha to Racine. Milwaukee's not such a friendly place, but then they go to these various ports, and they take these ships to Canada. And the most popular of the places in Canada was a place called Sandwich, Canada. Now, we celebrate two of them. One, Caroline Qualls, who comes in 43 or 42. And then we celebrate Joshua Glover, that brings a national attention to Milwaukee as a result of him being broken out.
So I don't know that the average person knows how influential the city of Waukesha was in the Underground Railroad at the time. And this is nothing that would have gone without consequence were people caught aiding and abetting the folks who were making their way through Waukesha to Canada. You hear, you know, that the Waukesha Freeman actually had, there were messages laden into the copy of the Waukesha Freeman. Is that true, has that become folklore?
No, it's true, and it's the editors of and I should have brought one of their, but I'm going to make sure that you get a copy of one of the editors who talks about his role. He was at the Joshua Glover being broken out of jail, and he becomes the editor of the Waukesha Freeman. But honestly, when I'm putting less emphasis than I should, but the name Freeman clearly was a philosophy of the citizens of Waukesha, that we don't want fugitive slaves to be enslaved. We want to break them out of jail. And the churches over by the Fox River is the primary places in which they were hid out. The Fox River led right down into Burlington area.
Huh. And some of the boats were right on the Fox River that were taking slaves to freedom.
Yes, it was.
Isn't that something?
All the way down into Racine.
And just that quick, we've only got one segment left, Claiborne Benson.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to come back with Claiborne Benson on 540 AM.
Kershaw.
WAUK. We're going to talk about Kershaw, North Dakota. You said
South Carolina.
Yes, all right. We'll be back on Raised in the Shaw. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, along with Claiborne Benson. And we're going to talk about some of the other things you can experience in the Wisconsin Black Historical Society coming up.